In introducing today's offering, I would like to mention that I am certain there have been three occasions on which my life was probably saved whilst I was in the Navy, which was, my life was very nearly ended at that time. On each occasion, I was either given the strength to hang on, or the problem was, the threat was removed, and this was in peacetime. On one occasion, when told to empty the mess deck waste bucket, arriving at the appropriate place on the quarterdeck with the bucket, the small ship that I was on dug her nose into an oncoming wave. Consequently, the stern went down, and I was waist deep in cold mid-Atlantic ocean water. I was waist deep, and I was desperately hanging on to the ship with one hand, whilst the other hand was hanging on to the bucket, which had become a glorified sea anchor, doing a two-way stretch. As the bow came up again, so the stern came back up, and I just appeared down into the mess deck like a startled rabbit. Had I paid more attention to the tonneau warnings, I would have realised that the upper deck was off limits, so I shouldn't have been up there anyway. And it does pay to heed instructions. The second time that comes to mind is when I had to carry a laundry basket that was full of small electrical and radio components recently delivered to the quarterdeck. And to take it from the quarterdeck to the storeroom, I had to pass through what was the upper magazine to the twin 4.7-inch guns, then through an upper mess deck, then to the main storeroom. Well, I picked up the laundry basket, made my way gradually forward on the ship. I came to the upper magazine. I thought, this could be tricky, because the guns were swinging. Now, by that, the whole thing in the upper magazine would be going round in one direction or another. I thought, this could be very tricky. Anyway, I waited till the guns stopped swinging anti-clockwise, because that was going against the way I wanted to go. And suddenly the guns started swinging clockwise. So I thought, this is it. I made a dash for it. I got about two-thirds of the way round, and suddenly the guns started swinging back again, rather unexpectedly. Unfortunately, the front of the laundry basket snagged against one of the trays on the like carousel that was there, and each of these trays for the shells or cartridge cases was on an axis from the centre pivot of the gun. Anyway, the laundry basket snagged on one of these trays, and I was gradually being pushed back, and suddenly my shoulder blades felt something rather nasty behind me. It was the flood pipe for the upper magazine, because if the ship got hit and there was a fire in the magazine, the first thing to do was flood it, regardless of the people that were in there. Anyway, I watched with horror as this laundry basket, which was about 3 feet long, suddenly started shrinking in length, and I felt the pressure building up on my chest. I thought, any second now my ribcage is going to collapse, because the pressure was just getting on me. I was being held back by this pipe behind me and the laundry basket being squeezed onto my chest. I thought, any second now, I've had it. Then the guns began swinging the other way. I made a dash for it, made for the exit, got the stores where they should have been. So I suppose the lesson here is that it's a lot easier to take a camel through the eye of a needle than it is to take a laundry basket through the upper magazine of a 4.7 twin gun turret. And it turned out to be a rather crushing experience. A few months later, and after the ship that I was on had been part of a destroyer escort for the aircraft carrier Ark Royal as she passed through the Suez Canal on her way to the Far East. We got south of the Suez Canal, south of the Sinai Peninsula, and we were met by another destroyer from the Far East Station, which relieved the Kronner, which I was on at the time. And so the Kronner was left in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Well, not the middle, but just well south of Aden. And I had to carry a rather large wooden box. It was, I suppose, about 15 inches cube. And it was heavy. And I was told, don't, whatever you do, drop it, because it contains vital equipment for the electronic warfare office. And I had to take it from the storeroom right to the after end of the ship. Well, not quite all the way, but to the after end of the ship. Anyway, I came out onto the main deck, just forward of the funnel, and I was on the starboard side of the ship. And we were doing about 30 knots. And the skipper decides to do a left-hand down a bit. As your ship turns round to port at 30 knots, she heels over to starboard. And there was I, just come out onto the upper deck with this wretched box in my hand, which I dare not drop, trying to keep my balance, and I was staggering with this box, and I was gradually getting closer and closer to the edge of the ship. In the end, I was literally standing on the edge of the ship, looking over the rail at the water that was rushing by the ship. And I thought, if I go over now, I'm going to come out at the end like goldfish food. Because when the propeller's going at 300 revs a minute, anything which goes through them is going to come out like it's been through a mincer. Anyway, at the relative time, again, the wheel came midships, the ship righted itself, and I was able to continue, rather thankfully, on my journey. I don't think any of us on the main deck at that time were particularly prepared for this particular high-speed manoeuvre. Perhaps we should have been. And I can imagine that all those who are listening to me at the moment are wondering and asking themselves, what on earth does this have to do with an offering sermonette? Well, I can imagine all of those things that go through your mind, but like most of you, I do put a specific amount of money by each month so that I've got a certain sum of money for the year's offerings. I'll just split that up into seven and that's it, that it goes in. But I took a look at it during the week and I thought, is this all I think my life is worth? Because I reckon that on those three occasions I just related that I could well have been mincemeat, dead. Now, another thought sort of crossed my mind, and it says, is this all I think eternal life is worth? So, quite frankly, I'd really like to be able to give more, but, you know, there are limits to what you can give. So, firstly, what is required when we give an offering? Again, 3 points. Here we need to turn to Leviticus chapter 1 and beginning in verse 2. Here God gives us an instruction relating to the quality of our offering. So reading from Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 2, we see these words. Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, If a man of you bring an offering unto the Eternal, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. Verse 3. If the offering be of the herd, be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Eternal. So here we see that offering must be without blemish, and our offering must be of our own free voluntary will, because we wish to give it whatever we are giving. If we check the phrase without blemish, we will find that it appears 40 times in the King James Version of the Bible. When God repeats something, it usually means that it's important. So when it's repeated 40 times, you can imagine it is extremely important. It is vital. And this leads us on to the second epistle, the Apostle Paul, to the church in Corinth, beginning in chapter 9, verse 6. In this section of the epistle, we are given additional instruction regarding what our offering should be and how the manner in which it should be given. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, reads, "But this I say, he which gives sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Verse 7, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So we see that our offering must be quality offerings, without blemish, given freely and voluntarily, not left to choice, not left to chance, but because we feel we have to, but because it is our desire to give the offering to our God. Even then, as King Solomon said, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given thee." And that is 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. Additionally, we are commanded to be here. God has given us the chance to give an offering to him at this time. And if there are any limiting factors in what we should give, that too is found in Deuteronomy chapter 15, beginning in verse 15. We know this, and we should be prepared for these occasions. The words here are quoted on many, many of the holy days, occasions when we are gathered together to give our offering as commanded, and it is again given in the following words. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. "Three times in a year shall your males appear before the Eternal, your God, in the place which he has chosen, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Eternal your God, which he has given you." I've recounted three occasions on which I am sure that my life was spared. And there are probably many, many others. I cannot put a value on my life, nor on the opportunity which may be granted to me to experience eternal life in the kingdom of God. The value of these things is obviously far greater than anything any of us or I could ever give. All I can say is that I'd like to give more. Now, it is our turn to give an offering of quality, voluntarily, willingly, and in accordance with the blessings that we have been blessed with. I repeat, it does say, in accordance with the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And remember, Jesus commended the widow when she only gave two small coins. So, you know, it's not how much we give or how little we give. It is whether the offering we give is quality, whether it's given freely, voluntarily, because we want to give it, and because it is here of what we have been given. God says that the silver is mine and the gold is mine. That's in Haggai 2:8. Whatever we give, it is of your own that we have given him. We can give too little, not valuing the calling that we've been given. Conversely, we can give too much and not provide for our own. So let's get it right as we take up the offering today and give quality, freely, willingly and voluntarily in accordance with the blessings bestowed upon us. Whilst the offering has been taken up, there will be offering music, which is Psalm 33, the music to which was written by Mr. Bowles. It is "Rejoice in the Eternal." It will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson, and then we will take up the offering.